And we're off. Welcome into the Patriots podcast. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
We are here to talk about the entire season. We just finished week 17. That went by in a jiff, eh?
The NFL season is, regular season is over.
Regular season. We're getting to the good part right now. Yeah, so the Patriots just took down the New York Jets, and that was a real nail biter, huh?
I know, right?
Yeah, they
kicked the shit out of them.
We all expected it. Facing Bryce Petty. I didn't realize we faced Bryce Petty last year as well. But
we must have forgot about that.
The funny part, he actually played okay.
He didn't play terrible.
He didn't play as bad as I expected him to play. And they still...
Same.
I was actually really hoping he was going to play terribly so we could see Christian Hackenberg for the first time and just see how bad terrible really is.
The hack.
Hack. Good. I love how the GM came out and said, like, the story is not fully written yet on Christian Hackenberg. The guy hasn't played one play.
Yeah.
And the guy has to come out and defend him and be like, look, he's not totally done. He's only 23. Joke. Anyway, there's not that much to talk about in this game. Brady was okay. The protection was so-so. I thought things could have been better. But the story of this game...
go for it.
I just want to talk about Deion Lewis. I mean, he was the story of the game for me.
Absolutely.
26 carries for 93 yards, and I thought it was way more than that. It looked like he was getting good yardage all the time. Made plays out of the backfield, 40 yards through the air.
Well, he barely played in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Guy's a goddamn player. How did he get 26 carries before the fourth quarter, essentially?
Well, because that was, I mean, when you talk about Brady not doing much on offense, 18 for 37, we didn't throw to Gronk. So we pretty much were like, we're not putting Gronk, Gronk's just going to be in the game, but like not in the game.
Right.
So there was that. I mean, they kept trying to feed Cooks, but that was spottily. They fed Amendola a couple times, but they really didn't want to use him. So it was really, Brady was working with a cast of characters he's not overly comfortable with.
Yeah, it was only Deion and Brandon Bolden for backs in this game. James White was out, Rex Burkhead was out, and then Gillislee, who had a pretty good showing against the Bills in his one game in the last 2 months, he was out as well. So they were really shorthanded in the backfield, so they really had to lean on Deion. He came through. He's a goddamn player. Every time he touches the ball, I'm terrified he's going to get broken.
I know, but he's amazing, dude.
He is. He slips tackles. He doesn't really get hit that squarely, and he's got so many skills out of the backfield, too. Everything he brings in the passing game.
He's so fun to watch, too, and now he's doing that. He's getting, the last few weeks, and I think he said that this is new to his repertoire, the kind of Le'Veon Bell delay, hang out behind the line for a sec if there's no hole, wait for it to develop, then hit it real hard.
Yeah, we really saw that more this game than we have
ever
any other times. And you can see the contrast so starkly when Gillislee gets in there. And Gillislee does, it looks like he runs like his eyes aren't open. He just goes, oh, am I going to the four hole? Takes the handoff and just as fast as he possibly can in that direction, and that's it. And whereas Deion Lewis will take his time, and he finds back cuts and just makes people miss, makes plays happen.
But it's funny how over the years you contrast these running backs. I mean, there's certain guys who are like, stop dancing in the hole. Why are they dancing in the hole type of thing, where Deion and even, Le'Veon Bell more to it, but Deion too, just kind of, it's not like he dances. They just wait. They don't go anywhere. They don't do anything. They don't move their feet. They just kind of stop and and then boom, right through the hole. And it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, the patience is good, but you need to have the quickness to back it up, which those two guys have. When you see LeGarrette Blount or T.J. Duckett, a guy from way back in the day, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis to some extent, some guys that would... Lawrence Maroney, perfect example. If you dilly-dally and you don't have the quickness to back it up, then it ruins the plays.
Yeah.
So Deion was incredible. You mentioned Brandon Cooks. It's frustrating. How did a guy goes for five catches for 80 yards and a touchdown, and I'm going to sit here and complain about him? This is Brandon Cook's season in a microcosm for me, because I have to accept that he is not the player that I think he should be.
Yeah.
There were three or four plays in a row, and the first one, this was in the second quarter, I want to say, first quarter maybe. I texted you about this when it happened. I was livid. He goes,
plays in a row.
He runs a deep crosser, gets a holding call, which is earned, whatever, but Brady throws the ball to him and it lands at his feet and he's still standing there. He's 20 yards downfield. Try to go to the ground. Try to make a catch. What are you doing? I realize it's 10 degrees out. You don't want to do that. But it's a 5-yard play versus a 20-plus yard play.
Right.
You understand? That's what you got to do that. And then the very next play, they try to go deep to him. He pulls up on his route. He doesn't think he's open. Brady thought he was open, and he was.
And couldn't Brady catch throws up to the ball. Perfect pass.
Well, you don't know that.
Oh, it looked like it was a beauty.
You don't know that.
Literally, it was like they were like, oh, he slowed down first step. It was like 3 yards in front of him, 4 yards in front of him. It was a step or two.
Yeah.
He had it.
Yeah, he probably would have had it if he didn't slow down. So that was infuriating. And then there was a third play where, once again, he didn't like dive for the ball. He won't go to the ground to make a catch.
It's not his thing.
Regularly. Dude, put some effort into it. I understand you're making $2 million this year, but when you're making $9 next year, you better fucking go to the ground and catch it. All right. Off my soapbox there. Outside of that, the touchdown catch was great. And Brady's throw on it was really nice. He stepped up. He saw a tiny little window and just kind of bulleted it right in there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Defensively, I mean, they held their offense to 6 points. We said it's Bryce Petty. But, I mean, you really got to give a lot of credit to the Patriots coaching staff looking at this front seven at certain times in the game. I mean, there's situations where it's Butler at D-tackle, you know, maybe one other D-tackle that's actually good, a rookie Dietrich Wise, Eric Lee, Marquise Flowers, Alandon Roberts. I mean, I heard it on Zolak say it today. Basically, he was like, that front seven is week four preseason defense.
Yeah.
It's literally, he's right. Like, it's not even over an exaggeration. It's like, that's like maybe one or two of those guys have business being in a starting front seven, but like all of them on the field at the same time, it's like, wow, they've done a bang up job holding teams to 6 points and, you know, not let this thing get out of hand here.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at like the front seven that you just described, the key word that comes to mind is limitations. Like those guys are all limited. Adam Butler could get run right over. Same thing for Eric Lee. Alandon Roberts cannot cover for his life.
Marquise Flowers cannot cover.
Yeah. I really like what Marquise Flowers brings. He's an athlete.
He is. And he's great at, I mean, he got another sack. The guy's got 3.5 sacks in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we could have said the same thing for Eric Lee a couple weeks ago. And I think Eric Lee belongs in a reserve role.
And that's, they're getting there now.
Yeah.
Starting to do more well. Because
you bring in 92.
James Harrison, everyone, did he have anything? Well, the guy got 2 sacks and a forced fumble and a picture-perfect tackle on probably their best offensive player, Anderson.
Yeah, the tackle was really nice. The sacks came at the very end of the game when the Jets had basically given up.
But he still beat a double team on one of them.
He did. He did. Well, you look at him, you're like, God damn it, this guy's intimidating. He's massive.
He's still got it to some degree. I mean,
he's got
not,
enough.
Yeah, he's got. He's
he has enough.
A huge bump for us, I think.
Just in the scare tactics.
Yeah.
You got to know where that dude is if you're running across the middle and he's in coverage.
Yeah, because he'll kill you. Plus, yeah. I mean, rushing, you know, it wasn't garbage time, but he was moving some big boys. So
yeah, I think I even referenced this last week when we talked about Chris Long causing the holding penalty to happen in the Super Bowl.
That's all he needed.
And then do you remember watching the Do Your Job 2 documentary where they talked about how there was a holding call in the Steelers-Chiefs game on a 2-point conversion? And that's how they got the idea to like force that holding call from the referees.
Mm-hmm.
James Harrison drew that first holding call.
Oh, the one that gave them the idea?
The initial one.
That's great.
So now we have that guy.
It's an interesting piece of the puzzle.
I know, right? To do maybe something that Chris Long was able to bring to our to the team last year. Chris Long's way better with the Eagles, by the way, than he was with the Pats.
Yeah.
He is an animal for them.
Well, because they're playing him the way he wanted to be played.
Yeah, we were severely limiting him.
We were putting him in coverage. And then finally we just put him in on third downs. Now he's like, they put him in all passing situations, and he's like he's supposed to be.
Yeah, just let him fly.
Yeah.
Good for them. The other thing that happened for the defense this week is something that I have been looking forward to for weeks. Kyle Van Noy made his return.
Yep, in a limited role, but he's back finally.
Very limited. He played, what, like 12 snaps, 13 snaps, something
13
like that.
13 snaps, I think it was.
Very, very small sample size, but good to get his feet wet. He's got 2 weeks to build on that, and I expect to see him playing at least 3/4 of the snaps
in
our next playoff game.
Alan Branch is back at practice.
Burkhead's practicing.
Burkhead's practicing. I mean,
Hogan
we got a
has been
lot of guys coming back here.
Yeah, you're talking about going into the playoffs and adding James White, Chris Hogan, Alan Branch, Rex Burkhead.
And Kyle Van Noy.
And Kyle Van Noy to a more prominent role.
I mean, he didn't even play in this. I mean, he played in this game, but he really didn't play in this game. You know what I mean?
Like half of the first half.
They just basically put him back in there to get his feet under him.
Yeah. Fine by me.
You know, talking about that, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead of the gun here, but a lot of people, we've talked about the Jimmy Garoppolo thing in the past.
It all comes back to Jimmy, doesn't it?
No, but just people, because of the Jimmy Garoppolo situation, people are saying, oh, well, look at Brady. Brady's played terrible the last, or very average. I've seen a lot of people and heard a lot of people saying, in the media, saying he's been playing very average.
He has.
He has been playing, and he has. That's completely fine. But the thing that nobody brings up is, oh, well, he did lose Chris Hogan in week 8, who was pretty much the only person besides Amendola and Gronk that he trusted on the offense throwing the ball to on the outside.
He might have been the best offensive skill player in the first half of the season.
Yes.
Chris Hogan.
So we just lose him, and everyone's like, oh, well, he doesn't do anything. What does he bring to the table? Well, it's only the most productive receiver we've had that Brady's comfortable with that's been on the team for a few years. Just that. You know, Britain, everyone knows how much Brady has to trust you to throw you the ball. So, okay, that's nothing. And then he loses James White and what's his name?
Burkhead. Gronkowski for the Dolphins game.
Burkhead for this. Gronk didn't even get looked at in the Jets game for real actual design because they didn't want to throw him the ball. So it's like, okay, you lose a few of those guys. It's like, what do you expect from the fucking guy?
Mm-hmm. And this game was, let's not forget, this game was 10 degrees. This was the second coldest game he has ever played in his life.
Yeah.
And so, probably the coldest game everybody on the field had played in their life.
I mean, it just pisses me off when people are saying this, and it's like, let's look at the other variables here. I mean, the guy's trying to throw to 3-4 receivers he's never thrown to before. Like, the only guy he's thrown to before is Cooks and Amendola. And Amendola, they don't want to get hurt. We know that. He's, like, on a count. And Cooks kind of drops it. He's not a cold-weather player. He can't play in fucking December in New England. He's not used to this shit.
I know.
You know? It's like all these things, and everyone just chalks up to, oh, he's getting old. He's so old. That's what it is. It's like, let's look a little deeper here.
I know. So, I know, 100%.
He's ready.
Yeah, and then when they start to talk about the MVP conversation, and they point to the last four games, and they go, well, Brady's been okay. The first thing I want to say is go to that Pittsburgh game and watch what he did in the second half. Against a team that was completely stifling us in the first half, and he got a touchdown in the last 2 minutes when he had to for the win, mm-hmm. or at least for the lead at that point, and, you know, put the rest of it on the defense.
Yep.
And then you also have to say, look at the 6 games before that and understand that nobody has played better than that all season.
Right.
The way he was playing in the middle of the season. Maybe Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of the year.
And it's not even like he finished bad. He finished as good as pretty much any other quarterback did. Tell me another quarterback in the league that's been playing outstandingly over him. Maybe Jimmy G, but he's got way more interceptions than Brady.
Alex Smith has been playing really well.
Don't even.
I'm just saying he's been playing really
well. Don't even bring Alex. How has he been playing really well?
They're 4-0 in their last 4 games.
Oh,
and they've been incredibly efficient offensively.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
You asked. You asked, I answered. I don't know what else you want from me.
I don't believe it. That's what I'm saying.
The only other things I wanted to say about this game, defense played pretty darn well. Coverage was good. The fact that they limited Robbie Anderson, who is their best receiver coming into the game, they limited him to one catch.
He was getting a little frustrated too.
Well, Stephon Gilmore had a dirty play where he hit him in the head with his shoulder. Did you see that?
I wouldn't say that's bad.
I thought it was pretty fucking dirty.
Nah, I wouldn't say so.
Ooh,
that's just a football play. I mean, what do you expect? The guy was kind of falling, and he comes over and wants to rock him.
Gilmore's chippy, man.
Gilmore's chippy. I mean, that's the one part of Gilmore I do like.
Perfect. That pretty much wraps up this game. I mean, I got nothing to say. The Jets being 5-11 on the season, good for them. That is easily more than twice as many wins as I expected them to have.
Way better than anyone expected.
Yeah, they got Todd Bowles locked up for a couple more years. He's a pretty good coach, at least judging from this season. I'm pretty impressed with what he's been able to do.
But Alex Smith put together a better
still
season.
Stewing on this.
Better season than I expected.
Okay, good. You're on board.
No, I'm not really on board. I mean, it's better than I expected.
Hey, last week you swayed me to say Marvin Lewis is more average than Jeff Jeff Fisher. Maybe this week I can convince you that Alex Smith had an okay year.
He had a good game against the. He did have a good year.
He started well and finished well.
He had a bad game against Oakland. He had a good game against the Chargers and the Jets. He had a bad game against Buffalo. He had a terrible game against the Giants.
You're not helping us with the when Giants. The season this was. That was in the middle of their slide, wasn't it?
This is the last six games, five games.
I said four. I said four games. Don't stretch it.
He didn't even play in Denver. What?
Was he injured? I don't remember that. Oh, this past week. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes played for them, and he played pretty damn well. I thought for sure the Broncos were going to win that game, but they have totally given up. And for some reason, Vance Joseph is coming back.
I don't know, because figure that one type out. Of thing.
Their team gave up the second half of the season.
Lost the whole team.
They gave up probably 2 weeks before the Patriots played them. I remember watching them against the Eagles, and they were just like lollygagging through the whole goddamn game.
Yeah, they had given up at that time.
And it got worse. that wraps up the Patriots season, 13-3. 13 and goddamn 3.
First round bye, home field advantage throughout.
Isn't that...
It's just seeming like the standard in the NFL at this point.
Is that 8 years in a row they've had a first round bye?
Yeah.
8 years in a row.
I'd like to see how many they had home field advantage, because it's probably not far off.
Yeah, I remember 2015, we've discussed a few times they didn't, when they had to go to Denver. 2013, same deal. But the rest of them, they might have had home field throughout. It is unparalleled success. They go into the playoffs. Now offensively, they finished first in yards, second in points. Defensively, 29th in yards, fifth in points.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Fifth in points. That's great.
Yeah, got to be one of the best point differentials in the NFL. I think they are tied with the Eagles for highest point differential. Eagles also 13-3, home field advantage in the NFC. What balance from the conferences, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think was your biggest surprise on this team?
Patriots?
I got to think it was the coverage woes. Early in the season especially, it got better.
Coverage woes, but I'm more just the front seven in general. I mean, they played well. Decimated. Just the players now were going into the players we've been playing with. Like, half those guys weren't even on the team.
Yeah, but did you see Mike Reese wrote an article about this? He did like the 10 steps that led to James Harrison coming to the Patriots, and they were like all the people that are missing. It was like Dante Hightower, Derek Rivers, Shea McClellan.
Mm-hmm.
What's his face? We traded for Coney Ealy from the Panthers. Didn't work out. Like there were like 10 people who all fell through. Cassius Marsh, and then it all led down to us having to pick up a veteran pass rusher in December.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, but I think that was the most surprising. I knew our front seven wasn't going to be our strong suit, but I didn't think it was going to be this.
Yeah, this is bad.
Well, they're not even playing bad. I mean, guys like Malcolm Brown, Lawrence Guy, the two of them have been playing out of their minds the last few weeks. We didn't even mention them. They've been playing great football.
I guess they have. Absolutely. They're our number two, or number one and two defensive tackles. It almost makes you forget Alan Branch isn't there.
Yeah, and they're really probably anchoring a big part of this defense, literally and figuratively. The secondary being so bad, yeah, I mean, that was disappointing, but they kind of got the ball rolling after week four.
They did, but I don't have confidence in them. That's the weird thing.
I do.
Like, Malcolm Butler is up and down all over the place.
But he's still chippy. I mean, I still have confidence in the guy. As long, you know, he's definitely had a down year, but he's always fighting for it. You know, it's like, oh, I got burned on that one. What the fuck are you doing, Malcolm? And then the next couple plays, like, he knows, and he'll do something to make up for it.
Yeah.
You know, and Gilmore, he has his moments, but he hasn't been getting crushed anymore. You know, it's not like he's let up a few big ones throughout the season since his fallback in the beginning, but it's nothing like, oh my, nothing horrible. Yeah. He's still putting pressure on big guys. He's still shutting out certain big guys, stuff like that.
I've actually really liked what Gilmore's brought outside of what he did against Calvin Benjamin, which he was just overmatched.
Yeah.
Eric Rowe and Jonathan Jones have both been like up and down in the slot, especially lately. Devin McCourty hasn't been as good as I thought he was going to be, or at least it hasn't been as good as he started the season. I thought his first half was much better than the second half, when you could say the absolute reverse for Patty Chung. Patty Chung's been great.
Chung's been the rock back there.
Chung's been incredible.
Jordan Richards. I guess I was more surprised about him, how bad he's been this year.
And he's been playing a lot.
They really must like him. I don't know what he's doing in practice, but he's not translating it to gameplay. Unless there is something I am missing.
There must be, because he doesn't belong on the field from what I'm seeing. But now Van Noy's back. Maybe he won't be on the field anymore.
Let's hope not.
So the playoffs are set, at least who's in right now, wild card weekend. The Bills. The Bills sneak in after... How about the frickin' Bengals? They have one more drive against the Ravens. They need a touchdown to stay in the game. And they just have nothing going on the whole drive. They're just throwing it at AJ Green every single time. Just like, come on, can we do anything? And then 4th and 10, Andy Dalton drops back and finds whatever Boyd's first name is, Tyler Boyd. And then the Ravens safety gives up. He just like failed to catch up to him, failed to tackle him, anything. They score the touchdown. And the Ravens throw up on themselves and miss the playoffs because the Bengals beat them on a last second drive. And somehow the Bills sneak in for the first time in 18 years. Somebody could have voted this year and wasn't alive for the last time the Bills were in the playoffs.
That's funny. That's a funny stat. Yeah, so the AFC right now, the first two matchups, Tennessee goes to Kansas City, Buffalo goes to Jacksonville. Talk about some, I mean, it's probably going to be good games, but nothing that I would have anticipated in the beginning of the season. You know, like, those are dog shit games normally.
Buffalo and Jacksonville. Yikes.
Now here's a funny part, as I was thinking about, for to put a little twist on it. What if it was, now imagine if instead of Buffalo and Tennessee making it, it was Baltimore and San Diego.
I'd be very frightened.
That would look like a playoff.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, isn't that those funny are, how that works?
And those neither, look like good teams.
And they both missed it.
Yeah, somehow. Because Tennessee beat like the Texans without Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt. And tell Tennessee anybody. Beat the Colts twice. Shit yeah. like that.
Right.
Buffalo beat up on the Jets and the Dolphins.
Like San Diego is in a difficult, well, you know, not too difficult this year.
Didn't turn out that way. I thought they were all going to be good teams.
So, yeah. And then on the other side, so obviously the Patriots and Steelers have the bye, so we don't know who we're going to play. We can't play Jacksonville in the first round.
Anybody but them.
And then on the other side of things, you got Atlanta going to L.A. You have Carolina going to New Orleans, which is hilarious. And then Minnesota got the bye. And as you said, the Philadelphia Eagles got the bye and home field.
It's embarrassing how much better the NFC wildcard games are than the AFC. They are light years better. Like, I don't even know if I would watch the AFC ones if they weren't a playoff game.
I mean, those aren't good games. Week 4 or 5 this season, those aren't good games.
Yeah.
Those games sucked.
But Carolina, New Orleans, I'll watch that all day.
Yeah. The funny thing that happened to Carolina, I don't know if you saw. So Carolina got beaten by Atlanta and basically went from home field to, or did they go from a bye? They might have gone from a bye to 5th seed.
They had the potential, if New Orleans lost and Carolina won. No. If New Orleans lost, Carolina won, and the Vikings lost, the Panthers would have got the 2 seed.
Okay, but even if they just beat Atlanta,
they would have won the division, I think.
They would have won the division, and now at a home field advantage versus New Orleans instead of vice versa.
And they look bad. They look really bad against Atlanta.
They're so up and down. It's so weird.
Yeah, they're Jekyll and Hyde all over the place.
Hopefully they don't get hot.
Atlanta at L.A., that's a fun game, too.
That's a good game.
I got to lean towards the Rams. I can't believe I'm saying it.
Oh, I think the Rams are going to win. I think they're going to win.
They're a more balanced team.
But I do have something in my head that reminds me that whenever there's a great running back, a team with a great running back that gets into the playoffs and that's who they lean on, it doesn't generally work out.
Name me one example.
Wow.
Some theory you got there.
Seattle Seahawks in 2006.
Wow. What Boom. About the Seattle Seahawks 2013?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Won the no, Super I don't know. That's Bowl a first off of that. Sean Alexander, because he was nasty and they lost first round, right? I don't know why I'm bringing that up.
He was nasty the year before and they went to the Super Bowl.
Was that what it was?
In 2005, they went to the Super Bowl. 2007, the Chargers won a playoff game, at least one, with LT when he won his MVP.
And then he won the
MVP the year before.
2006 was the game we beat them with, and they had no business. We had no business beating them.
Yeah, Troy Brown, thank you again.
I don't know. I guess that's just we'll see what happens.
It could go anyway. You can go back to Eric Dickerson getting shut out against the 85 Bears. Oh, another Rams running back.
Look at you. Oh, hey. See, there you go. Drawing lines.
Got some history. He also won the week before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun game. Sean McVay, coach of the year. What do you think?
Yeah.
What about Mike Zimmer? This guy has a first round bye for the Vikings with a third string quarterback.
That's true. Because they made the playoffs last year.
And no, they didn't.
Didn't they make the playoffs last year?
I don't think so.
I thought they did.
The Vikings were 8-8 last year. They did not make the playoffs. The Lions made the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wrong then. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why. I have no idea then.
I think it's because Jared Goff looked like a bust, and now he doesn't. And
he is a number two, though. Wasn't he number two overall?
Number one.
Oh, yeah. He was.
He looked like a bust last year.
How didn't Wentz go number one? That's nuts.
Because he went to North Dakota State, man.
Yeah, true.
How did Roethlisberger not go earlier than like 13th or whatever the Steelers got him at? Miami of Ohio.
You
look down on small school quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo was like the 7th quarterback taken in that draft.
True.
That's how it goes. Right. Johnny Manziel, first round pick, Jimmy Garoppolo, end of the second.
Good point. Yeah, I know. I mean, McVay, I don't know. I'm not really. You could give it a fucking half the coaches in the league. You could give it a Belichick every fucking year.
Yeah, you could.
I mean.
But he wasn't coaching a backup quarterback to a first round bye. No, he was coaching the greatest quarterback of all time.
With a defense that somehow let up the most yards in the league, but top five in points. I mean, that's pretty fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, but it was also. You look at that team on paper and you go, that's one of the top 10 talented defenses. Granted, a lot of injuries throughout.
Yeah, not in week 15.
Yeah, not week 15.
You know.
I know. I not think even I go week Mike Zimmer. Seven. I think I go Mike Zimmer on that.
He is.
But yeah, Sean McVay's a good one. Yeah. For sure. And how about Doug Peterson? The Eagles were 7-9 last year. They go 13-3, first round bye. He wins multiple games without Carson Wentz.
He was going to get it, and then once they lost Wentz and shit went off the rails.
Nothing. It didn't really go off the rails that bad.
Yeah, they're extremely lucky they've won.
Yeah.
He even knows that. He kind of said that in his last press conference. He's like, yeah, when the heat's on and, you know, things aren't going your way, you really have to make some drastic decisions. It's like, yeah, he knows. He knows that's not good.
Good. Yeah, what about we? I'm sure we agree on MVP. I'm assuming.
Brady, hands down.
Who's number two?
Got to give it to Gurley.
Gurley's been great, but I go Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson or even Alex Smith. I mean, those stats are pretty good.
Yeah, he's been good. I feel like the Seahawks would be 3-13 without Russell Wilson. You plug in their backup quarterback, I think they're about a 3-win team.
Yeah, literally. Defensive player of the year.
Oh, shoot.
Calais.
Calais Campbell has been incredible.
Now, Chandler Jones does have the sack record right now for the season.
Don't care.
But I don't care either.
Don't care. Yeah,
Calais Campbell has basically anchored that defense to be good.
Yeah, he turned them from bad to good.
Why didn't we fucking sign him?
Because he got $60 million.
So did Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, Gilmore is 26, 27. Calais is like 31. They're going to be paying him $15 a year at 34.
Well, at this rate, looks like he'll be pretty much worth it.
Looks pretty good. He's an animal.
He's huge. He's an absolute
freak. Yeah.
What's the other one? Comeback player? I don't even give a shit about that one. Comeback player of the
year. Yeah, now I got to think about who was injured last year.
I know, exactly.
Gronkowski? Yeah. I guess for the Patriots, it's Gronkowski, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know who fucking was injured last year.
Dude, how about Marvin Lewis getting re-upped? I thought we were finally done with him. I thought the Bengals fans were finally done with him.
They will never win. They don't care about winning. They don't. They more care about just being comfortable and okay and happy. I mean, the guy sucks. 0-4 is his playoff record, and he missed the playoffs in his division. That was probably the weakest it's been in the past 5 years because Baltimore just wasn't there.
Yeah, not this year. They were okay. They went 9-7.
Yeah, barely.
It's okay. The Bengals went 7-9. They actually, but that's exactly it.
That's Marvin the problem. Lewis,
he sways between 7-9 and 9-7, and like, sometimes dips to 5-11. And I mean, they just collect draft picks and get
years.
Talent. He's been there
for almost as long as Belichick, and he hasn't won a playoff game.
And how he just got two more seasons.
And he just got two more. I mean, oh, I was so happy they were getting rid of him. I said they should. Remember, I was saying last week that they should just fire him out of spite, even if he wants to retire. Fired.
Sorry, I'll fire you before you quit.
Yeah, it's just that owner must be just love him.
Yeah, I think he does. What's his name? Mike Brown? Paul yeah. Brown's son? Owner GM. What a gig that is. You inherit an NFL franchise, and you just get to decide, oh, I'm also going to be the GM. You know, fuck it, right?
Why not?
At least, well, I guess Jerry Jones inherited a lot of his money, but he bought the team, at least, because he's the GM for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's been a fun 2017. It's been a good year. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, actually, surprisingly. We were talking about this team going 17-0, 16-0, 19-0.
They went 13-3.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah, they lost on opening night. Yeah, we all thought it was a lock.
Well, that was more the media. I mean, I wasn't buying into the 17-0. The team we had that we went fucking 16-0 that year, or 18-1, I mean, there was so much freak talent on that. I mean, think of the defensive line there alone. Vince Wilfork, Richard Seymour, boom.
Ty Warren,
yeah.
Teddy Bruschi, Junior Seau, Mike Vrabel. What's his face from the
Sante
Ravens.
Samuel, Rodney Harrison. It's like, just stop at Richard Seymour and Vince Wilfork. You just stop. Better than everyone we had on the defense right now, literally.
Not even a
player that you can compare to either of them that's on the field right now.
Imagine if Marty Bennett was still playing.
I know. With all the offensive talent we're getting back, I think we're doing pretty good. So what is your most ideal matchup for us next week?
No, it's the Bills.
You think so? I'm going Tennessee.
Well, yeah, if we could play Tennessee, I would take Tennessee, but I would rather the Bills win.
Just for the Bills? It's tough to beat a team. I mean, I don't think we're going to lose, but it's tough to beat a team three times in 1 year.
Let me see.
I mean, they know a lot about us.
Okay. I was just checking the schedule. Tennessee versus Kansas City is the first game, so I definitely want Tennessee to win that game. And if Tennessee wins that game, then I don't really care about the second one.
Why do you want Tennessee to win?
Because I don't want to play Kansas City.
Oh.
I'd rather play, well, if Tennessee wins that game, all we can play is the Titans or the Bills, and I feel good about either one.
I mean, just think of the quarterbacks that we're talking about this series. You have Tyrod Taylor, Blake Bortles, Mariota, and fucking Alex Smith. Now, Alex Smith had a pretty good year. Mariota wasn't bad, but Bortles and Tyrod Taylor, it's like,
Mariota had a worse season than Bortles did.
Did he?
Yeah, he had more interceptions than touchdowns. He was like 13-15.
Oh, my God, that's terrible. I was talking to someone yesterday that said they had a great offense.
And no,
I was
like, no, they DeMarco don't. Murray's injured.
I was like, their offense is terrible. And it might have been my brother. And he was like, no, they have a sick offense. It's their defense that sucks. And I was like, I think they just suck all around.
They do. They do. And they suck at coaching as well.
Yeah.
All of it. Yeah, let's play the Titans for sure.
That's what I'm talking about, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be nice. You know, fucking and then you got, smack them.
And that would actually be extra good because then Jacksonville would be playing the Steelers.
Which is...
And we remember what happened last time.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger threw 5 picks.
Yep. Couldn't handle it.
Couldn't handle it. They had all kinds of... Calais Campbell was a man amongst boys that game. Jalen Ramsey was playing out of his skull. Good times. Let's hope that happens. Okay. That's what we're rooting for. Tennessee, Jacksonville, and in the NFC, I don't really give a fuck.
Care.
Yeah.
Get New Orleans out of there, and then I don't give a shit.
Shoot. How great would it be if Atlanta got back to the Super Bowl? Pats...
rematch, it's not possible. It's literally, I don't think they could mentally handle it. I think they'd collapse.
The media would, their minds would explode. Media my God, the storylines.
Yeah.
I hate that word.
I know, right?
From the storylines in this game. It's like, it's just a fucking game. Get the hell out of here. Oh my God, he's a Pisces and he's going
drama.
Against the Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid.
But yeah, Buffalo, it's tough to beat a team three times in a row in one season. Because
how do you know?
They got a lot of info. They've seen us. They know what we're bringing to the table. There's not really much surprises.
Twice a year, every year.
Yeah, beating them three times. Ask Bill Belichick. See what he says. Oh, yeah, it's not easy to beat a team once. Never mind three.
Yeah, he will say some shit like that. You're right. We'll double team Kelvin Benjamin. If that happens.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, that wraps up our regular season coverage. We'll be back to talk about the playoffs for sure. Patriots will enjoy their bye week, which really isn't a bye week because I think they practiced today.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever.
Oh, real quick. What do you think about McDaniels and the bearded one getting new jobs?
Patricia. Wait, did they? They didn't.
No, they didn't yet, but they're interviewed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They interviewed last year, right?
Yeah, and they didn't go anywhere. But now the Giants is open. Detroit's open. I mean, those are some good jobs, but...
Detroit is not a good job.
Yeah, but...
I understand that the former Patriots executive is running the show over there, but let's be honest, the Lions haven't done anything since, like, the 1950s. I'm serious.
I know that, but they do have a quarterback.
Who owns the team?
I have no idea.
There you go.
What, do you know?
I don't know. It's one of the Ford people. It's the Ford family. I mean, don't know.
I don't know Barbara who owns Ford half of the fucking teams.
You need stable ownership. I don't know. I just get a bad feeling. Then none of this is thought out. Okay. The Giants thing. The only reason the Giants job is appealing is because they have structural stability in that company, and they're in New York, so they're just going to get more attention. They're going to get more free agents. They're going to get more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it. Detroit doesn't have those things.
True.
But they do have Matt Stafford.
Yep.
But it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the other ones? Indianapolis?
I don't know. They're not going there.
Fuck Jim Irsay is a maniac.
Yeah, you want to work for Jim Irsay? See you. That's like a death sentence.
Cleveland?
It almost killed Chuck Pagano.
It did. Yeah, his body tried to kill him before he could take that job. Arizona?
Nah.
I think Arizona's got some good ownership. They got a good GM down there. He seems like a gambler, Steve Keim does.
But that quarterback's going to be a big issue with them.
It's
going
to be a huge issue. Plus, how do you deal with Larry Fitzgerald? Larry Fitzgerald's making the third most money of any receiver in the league next year, and he's going to be like 37.
He had a good season, though.
He's still good. That's the thing. Is you're like, dude, I want you. You're still good, but you're not worth $17 million.
True.
And he is the greatest player in the history of that franchise.
No, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's not even close. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe they'll leave. Maybe they won't. In all honesty, I think they both deserve to be head coaches at some point in the very near future.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just a matter of finding the right fit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Could that be more corporate speak right there? I don't think we're going to mesh. This is not right fit. I don't know if everything's congruent. I think you're a little orthogonal to the path we're trying to lead.
Orthogonal,
I think we need to pivot. Yeah,
all right, enough of that speak. For you. Enough of that shit.
I can break out some more for you. Okay, thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy this stress-free weekend of playoff football, and we'll be back next week to preview the Patriots' first playoff game in the divisional round.
Absolutely.
See y'all.
Adios.